"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
A reminder that the Moist Line is still there for you. We're going to play calls tomorrow, so you're running out of chances for this week's collection. Use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886.
Well, here's the trick.
Whatever
is made up of the Biden administration, I'm not presuming Joe is involved in this, keeps claiming that illegal border crossings are at their lowest point in over 2 years. And of course, all the public relations outlets that work for Biden and are disguised as mainstream media, they amplify these claims. We have Mark Krikorian on from the Center for Immigration Studies to tell us what the truth is. And because don't fall for these headlines or these White House announcements. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Well, what is the truth? Because
the truth is,
go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's what the administration is saying is true as far as it goes. The number of people arrested by the Border Patrol sneaking across between the legal ports of entry is down. Now, it's still ridiculously high. It's about 100,000 in June, which is about 3,000 a day. And 1,000 a day is what Obama's Homeland Security Secretary said was unsustainable. So put that to one side. 1,000 a day is already terrible, but it's clearly down. It's about the level it was the first month Biden took over. But, and here's the important part, the reason this administration was able to engineer that statistic is because they have gotten prospective illegal aliens to schedule their illegal immigration through an app called the CBP One app. CBP is the agency that oversees Border Patrol. And so you can schedule your illegal immigration, come through a port of entry. And so the administration says, hey, it's legal. What's the problem? Except they're letting these people go once they get into the United States. It's just a shell game.
What kind of numbers are we talking, Mark? What kind of numbers are we talking with the app?
The in June, 45,000 people came across through in other words, inadmissible people with no visa, no nothing, came into the country through regular ports of entry. That's triple what it was the previous June, quadruple what it was the June before. Highest number ever, and this administration keeps increasing the number of people that they are saying can come in through the app.
And then
it was
doesn't count.
A day, then it was.
Yeah, and doesn't count it as illegal border crossings.
No, exactly. That's the whole point, is they're just changing the definition, calling it something else, and voila, mission accomplished.
And then you get a headline that says illegal border crossings down to their lowest level. So this whole thing is rigged. It's a scam. Even at this lowest number, it's still at an unsustainable number. But then you got to add another 50%. You got to add another 50% to the number.
Yep, absolutely. And frankly, it's, you know, look, I'm no fortune teller, but it seems to me both of those numbers are going up. The administration keeps increasing the number of people, illegal aliens, they will take in through the CBP1 app, and the number of people illegally crossing. If you look at the Border Patrol arrests of non-Title 42 people, remember Title 42, it went away a couple months ago. It was because of COVID. And the Border Patrol, when they got those people, they were able to just bounce them right back across the border. No fuss, no bother. Well, if you count only the non-Title 42 arrests at the border, you look back over the past several years, this is one of the highest numbers ever. So it's not the highest, but it's pretty close to it. So, you know, where's the success here? This is purely an artifact, a fake thing they have engineered. Again, they're not fixing the numbers. This isn't Dominion voting machines or anything.
They're breaking them up into categories so the average person isn't even able to follow this.
Bingo. It's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. And it's all about the optics, right? Because that mass of people at the border is just not a good thing to show America.
That's always been this administration's approach. It's not that they want to reduce the flow of illegal aliens. It's they want to make the news stories about it go away. And this is how they're trying to make that happen. What they say is that they're opening new lawful pathways, except there's nothing lawful about letting in a person who has no right to be here and then just letting them go into the United States. It's illegal. It's just, I wrote a piece on this a few weeks back, and what I titled it was Biden to Aliens, : don't break the law, I'll do it for you. So the aliens are not sneaking across the border, which is illegal. They're coming to a port of entry. It's the Biden administration that's breaking the law.
Are there challenges to this?
Yes. There's the lawsuits, two of them, to sort of different, wrinkles of it. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
What is the law they're breaking by allowing the illegals to schedule their visit?
Illegal immigration.
Yes.
Yeah. The Immigration and Nationality Act says that if anybody who is inadmissible comes either to a port of entry or sneaks across the border illegally and then says they want, you know, asylum or they fear persecution, they must be detained during the entire course of their proceedings. That's the point. That's where the law is being broken. These guys are letting people go, many of them they're giving work permits to. And then, you know, in 2033 or something, they'll have a hearing. And, you know, it's all fake.
You're not exaggerating much, are you?
No, in New York City, if these people said, yeah, I'm going to New York City, they say, okay, you go, when you get to New York, call ICE and turn yourself in. That's literally what they're saying. And in New York, ICE has said, we can't accommodate you turning yourself in until 2033. Literally.
Oh,
ridiculous.
God. Well, I mean, since the Biden administration overturned a lot of the Trump border policies, why didn't they think of this a couple of years ago before they got all this bad optics at the border?
Well, you know, I mean, first of all, they were told that this was going to happen because, you know, during the transition period after the election, before Biden took office, this is the way every administration works. The outgoing people and the incoming people have meetings and they say, OK, here's the key to the bathroom. Here's what's going on. The Homeland Security people said, please, for the love of God, don't do what the president said because it's going to be a disaster. These guys, they were warned. They knew better. They figured, no, we'll take care of it. It's manageable. We're experts. Uh-huh. Well, you know, this is what happened. It blew up in their face. And they're not even that displeased about it.
I think it's likely this is what they wanted. They don't want the political blowback that costs them votes.
No, this is a perfect situation.
They want the bodies coming in here from all these foreign countries.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Tucker, for instance, and a lot of other people have said, well, they're doing this because they want to import voters and what have you. I don't believe that. I mean, they're for importing voters. They don't mind that. But that's not really what this is about. What this is about is that this crowd, the people running immigration under this administration, I won't say Biden, because Biden has nothing to do with it, but I mean the people they appointed, they don't believe the United States has the right to keep anybody out. So if nobody comes, well, that's okay. I mean, in other words, they're not going to go and Shanghai people to move here illegally, but they don't think that we have the right to say no to anyone who comes to our border. And so this is the result. There's no, this was bound to happen. And they're living in sort of an alternate universe where they think they can manage this.
So we're the only country not allowed to have a border.
Basically, that's what it amounts to. Well, look, we're evil and we have to, you know, compensate for the usual stuff.
Mark, that's what I think when I hear them use that term, a humanitarian crisis. That's their way of saying we just got to let them in because they're suffering so much. America has to save them.
Yep. And America's evil, and it's all our fault anyway. And so basically what they're saying is, this is great, but it's also bad, and we deserve it to happen to us. You know, it's that kind of thing. So, it's not going to change until the root cause changes, and the root cause is sitting or napping in the Oval Office.
All right, Mark, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You really give us great info on what's really going on. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Mark Krikorian, the president of the Center for Immigration Studies, on the little shell game the Biden administration's playing with what's going on at the border. They're just classifying people that they can come into the country illegally, legally, right? You can schedule your illegal immigration.
Did you see that Biden has one of those CPAP machines that he sleeps with?
Yes, that story came out a while ago.
Yeah.
Did you see today's story?
No.
They're going to use lower stairs on Air Force One so he doesn't trip. Politico says his advisors have privately acknowledged an intentional shift to steer the president to lower stairs to make it easier for his travel and limit the possibility for missteps. I mean, literal missteps.
But have you ever seen anybody sleep with one of those masks on?
And I see those commercials now where you can have some very low invasive procedure done. You don't need those masks anymore. Well, Does that work?
I knew a guy who had one of those masks, and the machine makes a lot of noise, too.
Oh, it does. Oh, it sounds like somebody's in their last breaths with the respirator going.
It's like a breathing machine in intensive care.
Oh, God. All right. That's it. Just mock Biden because he has a CPAP machine. What's wrong with you? Yeah, Deborah, Mark, make a noise. Go ahead.
Oh, that one, that was a fail.
That was a misfire there.
It really was.
And it was pretty wet.
Can I do take two?
Yeah, go ahead. Try it again. There you go. There.
All right. Now your chance at money is next. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right. Well, we spent a lot of time on this story, but it was May of 2018. This is the bombing at the day spa in Aliso Viejo. And it killed a woman who owned the spa. Her name was Ildiko Kranjak, 48 years old. She opened a cardboard box she found at the day spa, and it exploded. There was a couple of customers in there, a woman and her daughter, who were seriously injured, but they did live. When we started to examine this story more closely, we learned that apparently she was breaking up with a very distressed and deranged rocket hobbyist by the name of Stephen William Beale. So, you quickly put two and two together. She died from a bomb. He's a rocket hobbyist. He would seem like a prime suspect.
Yep. Don't date a guy who's able to build explosives. Rockets are explosives.
Yes. Well, the motive is he resented her, so he killed her. In early 2018, he was sending her texts saying he was getting anxious about whether she would leave him. He threatened to kill himself when she said, "I need more space." On a trip to Portugal 2 months before the explosion, apparently he discovered that she'd been seeing other men. Though he continued to send her love notes, one of them said, "I saw your face, and that's the last I've seen of my heart." That's from a song, isn't it, John? I saw your face, and it's the last I've seen of my heart. Anyway.
Oh, now what song is that? It's going to bug me.
I thought it was like Stevie Wonder's "I Just Called to Say I Love You."
No, 1970s song.
Oh, it is a 70s
song? You Are
the
Woman, Firefall.
Oh, that's it. You're right. You Are the Woman. Did you get help with that?
Yeah, Eric knew.
I did not. Ray helped me.
Ray knew.
It is Firefall. That's
Ray
right.
Ray knows all those cheesy 70s love songs.
He's a big Barry Manilow fan.
Huge Barry Manilow fan. Nothing gets Ray more excited than Barry Manilow coming to town.
Oh, he's amazing. Barry Manilow is amazing.
Yeah, I know.
He doesn't strike you as a sentimental guy, but he is.
Ray doesn't seem like
you're absolutely right.
His core audience.
No. He says he's a fanalo.
He's
a fanalo.
Yeah, that's what they call him.
I saw him.
He still does Vegas shows. He still does Vegas shows.
Oh, he's got a residency there.
Yeah.
He plays for months at a time. I'd like to see him.
They laid out the case because this is weird. There was already a trial for this guy, and the jury was deadlocked. But the case is pretty easy here. He had decades of experience in rocketry. He had skill in electronics and chemistry that made it possible to build a bomb without blowing himself up. He once built a bomb, Deborah, to eliminate a neighborhood gopher.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
When they searched his home, they found 130 pounds of explosive precursor chemicals, explosive mixtures, and wires of the same type used in the blast.
Okay, so here's another dating tip. Don't go out with a guy who blows up gophers.
He just wanted to help. Caddyshack, right?
Yes. Well, the city uses carbon dioxide on the gophers in my park.
Yeah, that's sick too.
Yes.
Gophers really get a bad deal. Nobody likes
them. I know, but they're such hole diggers. They can cause a lot.
Hole diggers? That sounds awful.
They're hole diggers, yeah.
There's got to be another phrase.
The defense attorney, what a job this was, Megan Blanco said, "Oh, come on, he's nothing more than a hobbyist. He just tinkers with rockets and pyrotechnics.
Get out of here.
That you rushing to judgment. Is he a bomber? Oh, no way. He invited investigators to the house to search his computers. Why would he do that if he was the killer?"
That's the defense argument? Oh, no way?
That's all the... Well, I'm not quoting that. Her quote is, "Does it make him a bomber? No. It's a very common hobby." No, she says, "Is it a very common hobby? No, it isn't. But does it make him a bomber? No, it doesn't."
The judge says, "What's your defense for your client?" "Oh, no, he wouldn't do this. It's not a defense."
Someone who wanted to set all this up. Oh, she tried to claim someone was setting him up. The real
it's
bomber.
A horrible story. Just
did it
awful.
Because they wanted to kill her and make it look like he did it. He faces at least 30 years in prison and the possibility of life in prison, which we know is not going to exist in a few years in California.
He looks like the Unabomber's son in this mugshot.
Poor woman. She really picked
that's
a bad
horrible.
Person to date.
Yeah, that's... Kraniak, is he Polish?
No, that's not his name. That's her name.
Oh, that's her name.
Yeah.
He was Stephen Beale.
B-E-A-L, yeah. Beale. Right, that was her name. I think she was of some Eastern European
extraction. He looked kind of blockheaded.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
Juan Gabriel. Juanquis. Selena. Selena. Celia Cruz. Azúcar. Karol G. La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera,
Xtina,
just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Thurda Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
One quick thing, about 15 minutes ago, we had Mark Kerkorian on for the Center for Immigration Studies about the Biden administration manipulating the illegal immigration numbers to make it look like it's not bad when it is bad. This cannot go unnoticed. The mayor of New York, Eric Adams, is basically announcing the end of the sanctuary city era, claiming we have no more room in the city. You will be warned that there's no guarantee that you can access any shelter or any other city services. They're going as far as distributing bilingual flyers at the Mexico border to dissuade people from coming to New York.
They'll just be homeless on the street then.
The flyers warn the migrants that housing is very expensive. The cost of food, transportation, and everything else is the highest in the United States. The New York Times says the flyers do not convey much compassion. They don't discourage illegal immigration altogether, but they ask the border crossers to consider another city.
What about the ones that are being sent there from Texas? Are they going to be turned away then? Or those buses that were coming in?
I don't know.
What are they?
You wondered when the breaking point will be? The stupid mayor there. He embraced all this at first, right? He continued the sanctuary city policy. And then he couldn't believe the huge numbers. Last I heard, he was claiming it was about 85,000 people. There's nowhere to put them. They couldn't take care of the their own homeless in New York City and their own
poor.
They
have no money. Yeah.
They've got no money. It was costing like $8 million a day. Yeah, and now it's now they're I guess they're flying employees to the Mexico border to hand out flyers saying don't come to New York.
Right.
What a stupid ass. What just an incredible blockhead.
And remember, he tried to send some to the suburbs, too, right? He was busing them north.
Yeah, right. He was.
This quick story I just saw a note of. Wow. This is going to be tough for this child. An 18-year-old Miami woman is accused of trying to hire a hitman to kill her 3-year-old. Wow. She went to a parody hit-for-hire website. Law enforcement set it up as kind of a sting operation.
Oh my.
And she actually thought she was getting a real hitman. She was willing to pay $3,000 for them to take him far, far away and possibly be killed ASAP. Nice.
Wow.
Fortunately, the child was living with his grandmother, but I guess she wanted to just offload this responsibility permanently. And I know, tried to hire a hitman to kill
her son. Imagine the moment that kid discovers.
Yeah, well, the day will come when that story, maybe he'll run into it online or somebody will tease him with them. Or
mom hired a hitman to get rid of
him. To off you.
Wow.
Well, we have many favorite columnists at the El Segundo Times over the years. Just recently, Anita Chabria is one of our favorites, right? Robin Epcarian, we love.
Yes.
Steve Lopez still has an occasional funny one. You notice all his now are about getting really old. Did you read them?
A lot of his columns now,
because he is old. So his columns are about being old.
Yeah, it's fascinating to read about a guy writing about. is he that old that only writes about?
I think he's close to that. Yeah,
he's like that guy in the park who just wants to talk about all his physical problems.
Well, they say write what you know. Isn't that one of the rules of writing? You have to write what you know, what you feel. His life experience, yeah.
I knew a guy like this. Hmm. He was a dad at the school. He's actually since died, but I met him accidentally at a restaurant, right? And he sat down and he talked to me for a half an hour, and everything was about his medical problems. And he was talking to me about his surgery and how they opened up his gut and his chest and they had to remove.
No self-awareness.
No.
Nobody wants to hear that.
No, it was a half an hour and it was really grisly and really detailed. He had something terribly wrong in there. It's like,
and you put up with this? I would have just said, "Oh, I'm needed over there. See ya."
I'd known the guy tangentially.
Oh, I have a call I have to take. Bye.
I knew the guy tangentially for years. He was a nice guy.
I do that all the time. Sometimes at parties, I'm like, "Oh, I gotta go. I gotta go to the bathroom. Sorry." I do. I'm not gonna give up my life for that.
I was trapped. I was in the middle of eating lunch.
You got it. Take your plate with you.
God.
Well, this guy, though, is fantastic. His name is Sammy Roth. He's got the crazy hair. He covers energy for the Times.
Yes, he's the environmental kook.
He writes some boiling point newsletter. The reason we're talking about him today, and I thought of this the other day, we haven't had flex alerts yet with this heat.
Right.
Remember, that's very common to have the flex alert. They want you to cut back on your power usage after like 4 p.m. to spare the grid. Well, the title, and this is a really, really long column. Would an occasional blackout help solve climate change?
No.
And that's most the response he got from people he talked to about it.
That's what's funny. He went through this long-winded explanation of how an occasional blackout would work. And then at the end, he runs this idea by everybody.
They're all like, are you kidding? I mean, the first paragraph is ridiculous. What's more important, keeping the lights on 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, or solving the climate crisis? That really isn't either-or choice, is it?
Yeah, well, this is where you take issue with the premise. You know, we're not all going to die from overheating, so stop it. You made up a fake premise.
Oh, he writes people that are lucky enough to have air conditioning. Air conditioning is pretty prevalent in society.
It's not lucky enough. You go to work and you save up $200. There you go. You have air conditioning. Anybody can save $200. The dumbest guy on the planet, even Sammy Roth, can save $200 and get himself an air conditioner. So these are bogus concepts. They're lucky enough. That's not luck. Everybody who owns an air conditioner worked for the air conditioner. Unless they won one in a contest.
Well, he got one thing right. If you're a politician and you're in charge when the power goes out, you're dead.
Good.
I remember Gray Davis, right?
The late Gray Davis, yeah.
Yes. And, of course, Newsom has struggled with this, too. And that's why he made that deal to keep the gas plants open in case we need them.
That may have been one of my favorite moments of the Newsom administration, when he went into full panic and started keeping nuclear plants open, reopening gas plants. He stole electricity from that was on its way to Arizona.
Right.
He saw the ghost of Gray Davis.
Well, this guy says, and this is kind of his argument, that we got to shut down these gas plants because we'll have disastrous temperature jumps. So if we shut down the gas plants, what he's saying is that we may have an occasional blackout because the grid won't be strong enough and big enough yet based on solar and renewables.
Really?
He thinks that the battery storage may eventually save us.
Okay, good. Well, until then, you let us know when that's ready, okay? We're all looking forward to the battery storage issue being resolved. Right now, that works for a few hours.
Right.
On a very limited basis. So tell me when that's perfected. You know what?
He makes a good point. Faced with more blackouts, people might turn against clean energy.
Yeah, yes.
That's a possibility. He's right about that.
We will. We absolutely will. Because you originally promised that you could use wind and solar to take care of all our needs and that it was going to be cheaper. It's not cheaper. It's more expensive. And he lied about that in the story. And it's not reliable at all. And we're more likely now to have blackouts. So everything that was promised was a lie. And this is what I keep telling you about the incrementalism. They make a bunch saying, oh, no, we'll do solar and wind. And, you know, maybe, you know, we'll have some growing pains with it. But eventually everything's work out. It's like, no. Eventually they say, can we maybe live with some occasional blackouts here? It's like, no, you're not pulling that one. You said it was going to be a smooth transition. It was going to be cheaper and easier and all that. You lied. Now we're going to come for you. Jesus.
He goes on and on in this column.
This is the longest column about nonsense ever written in American journalism. Sammy Roth is
But basically, it's a war on the gas plants. He wants those gas plants eliminated. And he says, well, to do that, we just may have to take a blackout.
Oh, I don't think we are. No, Sammy. Sorry. In fact, why don't you take your communist ass to China and go complain to them? They're opening coal plants almost every week in China.
Oh, did you see what they said to Kerry?
What?
Kerry's our envoy.
Oh, yes.
Climate. Basically, they said, we're going to do this on our own schedule. You're not going to pressure us in terms of cutting back their emissions.
Which means no.
That's an FU. Right.
We're going to keep building coal plants. What is wrong with Sammy Roth's tiny little pellet of a brain that he doesn't understand that a nation with almost 1.5 billion people is opening coal plants constantly, and that's going to overwhelm us turning off one gas plant in Glendale, which is the original part, you know, the original premise of the story. There was a fight over a natural gas plant in Glendale. It's like, really, I don't think Glendale can take on the whole nation of China.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Oh, we just got an email from the Los Angeles County Public Health Department. Barbara Ferrer, John. There's a small sign of increasing COVID. Be aware of the summer surge and take precautions.
The summer surge?
The summer surge. They said it's happened a couple of summers in a row. Cases and hospitalizations increased relatively sharply.
The Propaganda Times said 2 days ago that it was at its lowest level.
This is new information. They just had an uptick in the last week's worth of tests.
Since Monday?
Yes. The results came in this week, and they want to put out the word that we might be in the middle of a surge.
I saw a mask walking out of the building today when I...
Did you know the mask?
There's no person. No. It was just a mask.
Just a mask walking. We have talked many times, and I have the joke that eventually we're all going to be carrying Narcan. Because it'll be our job to revive all the drug addicts spread out all on the streets. Because you know what? The war on drugs was a failure. That cliche. Enforcement doesn't work, just like with homelessness. So let's take a new approach, right? What is the word they use for it, John? Harm reduction.
Yeah, right. That's their new...
So let's give them a place to shoot up their needles, like a safe place where they can take their drugs. And let's stand by with Narcan. Well, we take you to Oregon. And Oregon passed something called Ballot Measure 110, which eliminated criminal penalties for possessing small amounts of any drug, including cocaine, heroin, and meth.
They're exceptionally stupid in Oregon. No criminal penalties for cocaine, heroin, and meth. Now, what do you think happened? Just off the top of your head, what do you think happened?
When the policy went into effect early the next year, it lifted the fear of prosecution for the state's drug users and launched Oregon on an experiment to determine whether a long-sought goal of the drug policy reform movement, which is decriminalization, could help solve the drug problem.
Stupid idea.
This article in Atlantic says it hasn't exactly gone that way, and people are really turning on...
Not exactly.
On measure one.
In fact, last year, Oregon experienced one of the sharpest increases in overdose deaths in the nation. Had the highest percentage of adults with a substance use disorder. Wow. During 1 2-week period last month, 3 children under the age of 4 overdosed in Portland after ingesting fentanyl. So there you go. That's the triple crown. Overdose, massive overdose increases, highest percentage of adults with addictions, and kids, little tiny toddlers, overdosing on fentanyl. What else you want to do?
The term harm reduction appeared 5 times in the ballot text of Measure 110.
Harm reduction. All you have to do is chant these religious phrases at people, and they go, oh, yes, harm reduction, sure. And you try to get them to excite. Let's see, you basically legalize the worst, most destructive drugs that humans have created. How is that harm reduction? It's harm reduction. It's harm reduction. Just repeat after me, harm reduction, harm reduction.
Well, if you leave people to their own devices, people at the lower end will just continue to use and die out.
Do people understand human nature? Humans are dumb animals. They're easily bored, and they take anything that's going to give them a high or a buzz or send them into an alternate reality so they don't have to be responsible. Because working every day is a pain in the ass. Maintaining relationships are a pain in the ass. Paying your bills is a pain in the ass. Why not go into this incredible haze, this incredible dreamlike state where you could just pass out from fentanyl, maybe a little xylazine is in that, and then you know those open wounds start breaking out on your body.
So basically, they just started giving out tickets, and most of them got ignored. Mm-hmm. A lot got dismissed. So, as one expert says, it's a sheriff in the story, focusing on tickets. That's not a great use of your resources. That just doesn't work. It reminds us of Prop 47, right? Which decriminalized or reduced from felonies to misdemeanors a lot of the drug use.
Did it occur to these morons there was a reason that all this was criminalized? It was criminalized because if you have a large percentage of the population addicted, then you have chaos in the streets, all over the place, and it destroys people's lives. Not only the lives of the drug takers, but the lives of everyone around. Your neighborhood gets destroyed. Your kids' school. You can't have your kids walk to school alone anymore. You can't walk around because you have homeless, crazy people running around screaming, or they're passed out and they're soiling themselves. I don't see one single upside of this.
No.
This is like defund the police. It's extremely, unbelievably stupid. No upside. Nothing good comes of this. I'm just flummoxed by this. I can't believe it.
No, and it's interesting that this crowd, when it comes to homelessness and drug users, they take like this libertarian approach. Leave them alone. Don't worry about it. If they want help, they'll come for help.
Somewhere else.
And you just stand by. You can revive them in case they overdose.
No, I'm not reviving anybody. I'm
but
not
instead,
a med-
the problem is, look, I'm mostly libertarian, but they're ruining society. You can't just leave them alone. Because homeless encampments and open air and public drug use, that's just horrible. It decreases property values. It turns off tourism. It makes everything miserable. Why would you tolerate that?
They could take their freedom far away, not in the neighborhood, not near me, not in my backyard. I don't ever want to see even a whiff of this. Nobody does. We should start. We should get radical and say no more. That's it. My wife and I are trying to take a walk this morning, Palisades Park in Santa Monica, you know, on the cliff overlooking the beach.
Yeah.
And there is this really tall guy crossing the street, Ocean Avenue. And he's shouting. And I look up. I go, is he talking on the phone or is he completely out of his mind?
Oh, you had that little game I'd play, right?
That's right, yeah. So we suddenly veer on another sidewalk, another parallel sidewalk, and he comes marching into the park, waving his arms, and he is angry. He is so pissed off. He goes, "You are the most selfish woman. You are the most selfish woman." And then you look, and there's no earpiece in his ear.
Yeah, there's no, but he's talking to the voices in his head.
Yes, it's an imaginary woman who's wronged him.
Who's probably long dead or something.
Right, and then so he passes us by, and we're walking, and suddenly we hear the shouting again. It's like, uh-oh, we turn around. He's turned around. He's coming back. He's coming our way. Shouting, waving his arms, gesturing, shaking his fist. It's like, oh, my God. And we cross the street to get to the other side. We're, like, hiding behind a tree. Ay, ay, ay.
All right.
Nice morning.
When we return, we're going to bring Steve Gregory on the show. Do you remember him, John? KFI News reporter Steve Gregory?
I met him.
He's got more on that story out of Lancaster where the L.A. County Sheriff's deputies responded to a situation where it looked like shoplifting and some violence might be going on, and eventually one deputy throws a female suspect to the ground, pepper sprays her, all that stuff. There's some new information that has come out in the story, which we will talk about with Steve when we return. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.